Can you say amen right there? I'm glad he can carry us. Amen. Amen. I got to go to Sunday school today. Enjoyed the lesson. I want you to know you need to be in Sunday school. There are great truths there. Brother Jeff taught today on patience. Boy, it helped me. It was a great lesson, Brother Jeff, and it was wonderful. If you got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter number 2. Nancy, I think, said, I didn't know if you'd be here or not after the way you preached this week. I had preached my head off this week, but I plan on preaching my head off again this morning. And I thank God I'm here this morning. I wish every one of our members was here, but this is a great group here. If you got a calendar this year, you know our theme this year is Vision 2020. And for the month of January, I'm going to try to take one, at least a Sunday morning, to magnify each month's theme. And the theme is our church family in January. By the way, I thank God for the church. Somebody say amen. I'm glad for the body of Christ. I'm glad for the church of the living God. And I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 2, stand to your feet, and go to verse number 41. Now, you preachers are going to have to help me a little bit, and you deacons. There may be some of these folks are going to take them a minute or two to get on board, so you already ought to be on board if you're a called preacher, all right? And I'm going to let it rip this morning. I am. I see some preaching. I do. And I'm going to say, hey, it's still preaching that helps us. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. I'll read down to verse 47. I've got 4, 5, 6 things I'm going to try to give you. And I've got a lot in my heart right now. The Bible said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They went from 120 to 3,120. How many like to have that kind of church growth? Glory to God. Listen. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Sign gifts. By the way, those sign gifts had been abolished. Such as speaking in tongues. Somebody help me preach. Come on now. Such as miracles done by men. By the way, God still does miracles, but he doesn't. He don't need to do it. Hey, and by the way, as such as picking up a snake, I know some idiots pick up snakes and want to carry them. You go ahead if you want to, if you want to be that dumb. That was a sign gift. It's gone now.
Amen.
That which you, good preaching, Reverend. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and part of them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily of one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Our Father, I ask you now, as I preach this morning, on the church of the living God, I pray right now this practical lesson would permeate every heart, that we would on this January the 12th, that this new decade, consider that we need to commit ourselves to your cause, and your cause is the local church. You died for the church, not to some fellowship, but to the church. And I pray this morning that you'll help us in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning on this theme. I'll go ahead and give you the title. The believer's greatest privilege. This is not preach much today. I want all y'all to know this is not preach much today. But I want you to know after God saved you, he has allowed you to enter into a covenant called the church. A And we joke about it. So by the way, church membership is no joke. It ought not to be frivolous. Somebody help me preach right there. This is a great thing. Hey, you know you're privileged to be a part of the church. You're a privilege to be a member of a local church. And if you're a member of Thames Valley Baptist Church, the way God's blessing Thames Valley Baptist Church, you ought to raise your hand and shout, it's a privilege. Ain't no joke. It ain't nothing to fight about. It's something to be glad about. Somebody help me. Let me say three things by way of introduction. Some of you may have the false belief the church started at Pentecost. It did not. It started in the Gospels. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church in the Gospels was in its embryo form. But I tell you what, it was a church. Because in chapter 19 of the book of Matthew, the same chapter, if you have a problem in the church, so I might as well just say this. I probably am going to scare everybody to death. Listen to me. Somebody asked me, why do we vote people in? So if they're bad, we can vote them out. Now, you can laugh about that, but there's a lot of purity in our churches today. We need purity. Somebody help me preach. Because in Acts chapter number 19, or Matthew 19, see if you got a problem with somebody, go to them, try to get it fixed. If that don't get fixed, take somebody with you. And if that don't get it fixed, bring it to the church. Well, how can you bring it to something that doesn't exist? Somebody help me. Matthew 16, 18, it was in the embryo form. Acts chapter number 2, when the Holy Ghost come rush as a rushing mighty wind, it was empowered. And then in Acts chapter 2, the last chapter, or the last part of this chapter, it is evangelizing. You know what God does? He started his church, and he empowered his church so his church would evangelize the world. Somebody help me preach. Now here's what I'm going to give you. The believer's greatest privilege. Have you thought about that lately? Now here's what folks think. Man, I'm telling you. Here's the mindset today. Well, y'all ought to be glad you have me. Like you're entitled. No, you ought to be glad we're going to have you. You ought to be glad you're in the church. Hey, you ought to thank God you're there. Amen. Good preacher, Reverend. Y'all now follow me in the Bible. I'm going to give you Bible preaching. I'm going to show you where you are, where you talks about church membership, where it talks about this thing of church. I'm going to take you right down from verse 41 to 47 and show you six things right now in the next 21 minutes. First of all, I want to talk about your conversion. Verse 41. By the way, we need people in church that's saved. There's too many people in churches today that has no clue about being saved. They think coming to church is just a status symbol. No, church is for saved people. So I'm going to talk about your conversion. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. I want you to know in verse number, and also in verse number 37, the Bible said that when they heard this, the word, their heart was pricked. I still believe in old time conviction. See, here's what's happening. This user-friendly church today has left out conviction, has left out repentance, has left out change, has left out you. They have a new leaf type of thing, a sign your card type of thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the church ought to be a body of born-again believers. Yes, sir. See, that conviction is followed by conversion. And then that conversion is followed by confession. And you said, how'd they confess? And they gladly received his word, were baptized. What's baptism? It's an outward profession of an inward faith. When you go in that water, you're showing on the outside what you got on the inside. And I want all y'all to know this. Now, this ain't preached much. Your baptism brings you into the local church. We're just now saying it. They that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same that were added unto the apostles. Amen. And baptism's not sprinkling. Bad bond? No, 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 no. You said, I've been sprinkled. Will you take me as a member? Nope. I will let you come and present yourself if you've been saved, and then we're going to put you under the water, and we're going to immerse you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to wave your hand because you're hearing Bible preaching. All right, your conversion's what gets you in. Number two. Now I'm really going to get to preaching. You said you've been preaching already. Their continuance. God don't want you to be a shooting star. He wants you to be a shining light. And there's a whole bunch of people. They'll come up and poof. And then when the first thing they don't agree with, poof, they're out the back door. Poof, they're gone. And then everybody asks, where are they? And we make excuses for them. I tell you where they're at. They're backsliding out of the church because they're disagreeable and they don't want to be right with God. Somebody help me preach. Because a true church member will continue. Now, there's some churches I couldn't continue in. And I'll get into one that I can continue in. But I want you to know, it ought not be because your little opinion that gets you out of church and your little this or that. If you leave a church, it ought to be about doctrine. It ought to be about some kind of something important instead of something idiotic. You said, I know some churches I can't worship in. While you're in one, you can. Help me. Well, everybody all right? Now, how did it continue? Steadfastly. I had somebody say this the other day to me, and I don't really think they were paying me a compliment. Said, you're too set in your ways. You just won't change. In their context, what my change would have had to be, why ain't I contemporary man? Why ain't I Calvinist? Why ain't I a Calvinist? I ain't contemporary and I ain't a Calvinist because they ain't right. Steadfast. I want all y'all, you can love or hate me. But if you're honest about it, I'm just what I was when I came here when I was a 27-year-old boy. Straight out right with God and right in the Bible about the church. Amen. Now what, how? They were steadfast. What were they steadfast about? Now look at these three things. Doctrine. Now hold on. I had this happen to me since January 1st. Why is it every Fruit Loop comes out on January 1st. Had a guy come to me and said, well, I go to a church that doesn't believe doctrine. We are non-denominal. Oh, man. And I looked at him, I said, so you don't believe anything? No, doctrine is teaching. No, it's not that they don't believe anything. They allow every kind of doctrine. Some people believe in eternal security in their church. Some don't believe in eternal security. Some people believe in speaking in tongues, and the other, they just believe in all doctrines. Boy, is it quiet here? Y'all dying on me? I'm preaching a message every one of us need to hear about the local church. I'm doing it on Sunday morning when God and the whole world hears it. And by the way, also the continued, let me name a few doctrines, by the way. Salvation by grace. Amen. Eternal security. Amen. Sanctification. Amen. Positionally, progressively, and one day permanently. Whoo! The second coming of Christ. I am a pre-millennialist, a pre-tribulation rapture. Amen. Somebody help me preach. I believe in a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. I'm preaching a lot. Amen. Doctrine, and then fellowship. I want you to know something. I don't fellowship with the world. I want to fellowship with the church. And then they had breaking the bread. They took communion. If you're a member of the church, you need to be at communion. That's God's Lord's Supper. That's us doing it in remembrance of him. Now hold on, man. Stay with me. Somebody asked me this in the new year. Oh, why you, a Baptist? Well, as you'd ask. It's because they're the closest in doctrine. And I believe that's the church the Lord started. Now if this is foreign to you, don't just buck up on me now. Hang it with me a minute. Y'all want to spell Baptist? B, biblical authority. We're not dependent on a preacher or a pope. We're dependent on the Bible. Amen. A, autonomy of the church. We're self-governed. We're not governed by a convention. We're not governed by an association. We are governed by our church. P, the priesthood of a believer. You are a priest. And you don't have to go to a priest and confess your sin, but you can go to your high priest and you can go boldly to the throne of grace and mercy and find grace and mercy in the time of need. T, two offices, pastor and deacon. Not pastor, deacon, elder, and everything else. I, individual soul liberty. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. S, saved church membership. T, two ordinances. And if you want to call it Baptist, separated from separation of church and state. Time out. Time out. Can I take a holy time out? And by the way, separation of church and state isn't for the state to tell the church what to do. It's to keep the church, the government out of the church's business. But it doesn't mean that we can't get in the government's business. Y'all love me yet? You ought to thank God you got a preacher still bleeds right. Number three, quickly. Number three. Whew, glory to God. That's a lot of preaching in 19 minutes. Verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man hath need. Number three. Their contributions. Now, here's what the book of Acts talked about. They gave their possessions. In the epistles, that gives us a little bit more clarity of how to do that. It says, upon the first day of the week, you lay in store what God has prospered you. Just like the Old Testament, The Jews had a storehouse. They brought a tenth. And then they brought their offering. The New Testament, the local church is a storehouse. And you bring your offering. What is it that we offer? Your time? Your talent? And your treasure. You said I make $1,000 a month or a week. Give 100. Then put a love offering on that. Why is it so quiet in here?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Here's why we have such a problem. It's back to a little statement I made earlier. It's like if we come to church, we're entitled. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the way it is. No, we come to church, we're debtors. We want to get back to God. Am I doing all right? Let me hurry. I want y'all to get all this. Look at verse 46a. Y'all follow me in your Bible? Yeah, I'm preaching. Everything's in the Bible I'm preaching. Number four, their consistency. And they continued, church, say it. Say it loud. And they continued. Everybody with your Bible open, and they continued. They were consistent. Now here is a big problem. Come on now, y'all stay with me. Can I ask this question without offending anybody? I'm gonna do my best to not be offensive. Are you less consistent or more consistent in your membership and your faith than you were January 1st last year? Or are you like this? In, out, in, out. Some of you is already deciding, well, I'm not coming back tonight. I'm going to watch the ball game. Consistent all the time. Daily in the temple. I preached out Sunday night after service, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And you probably think, well, he laid out and didn't do anything. Nancy didn't even think I'd be here today, did you? You thought I'd be at the beach resting. No, I'm here letting it rip. But I want you to know, Nancy, I work Monday at the office, Tuesday at the office, Wednesday at the office, Thursday at the office, Friday at the office, and I worked all day in the office yesterday. You say, was you there 8 hours? I don't know if I was or not. But I'm consistent. Does it? Hey, you don't have to be a big name in the church. But I want to tell you, I know you and your wife here, and I love you. So I'll pick on you. You're consistent. You're here all the time. Now, hold on, man. If you're sick, I ain't talking about that. Amen, Larry. By the way, good seeing you this morning.
Yeah, amen.
Just be consistent. Yeah. Here's what I mean by consistent. Greg, it's simple. I know he's going to be here. And I know this. He'll write a check and be faithful to church. He'll do right. Now, I want all y'all to know something. I don't know what you give, and I ain't going to look because I don't want to get carnal. I'm not going to do that. I ain't doing that. But I want you to know something. God knows what we are. Raise your hand at me. Am I good preaching? Hey, hey, listen to me. I want all y'all to know something. This isn't the church of big eyes and little ewes. This isn't no big church. This isn't church that just caters to the rich people. Because we ain't got many of them. No, we love everybody. Red and white, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Can I finish?
Yes,
Am I doing all right, Chad? Maybe you can preach next week and it'll be sweeter. No. Look, 46B. Y'all got your Bible? You're looking at it? And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Their camaraderie, their unity. I want you to know something. If you brag about how ornery you are and how divisive you are and how much you like to stand up against the preacher and stand up against the deacons, God help you. That's shameful. Shameful. We've all been washed in the same blood. If there's anybody ought to be in unity with each other, it's us. Well, what is it you don't like about the church? My gray tie? Maybe you don't like the most souls that's been saved in church history last year. Maybe that grates against you because you don't want no competition in the church. By the way, church, we all thank God for new people. We've had some new people added this year. I want you to know has really done something for our church. We ought to be welcoming, camaraderie. They just as, hey, by the way, they're just as important as I am. If you're new around here, look at me. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. You're important to me. I don't know if I'm in on that decision. God help you when you don't even know what took to make the decision. And by the way, who called you to preach anyway? Boy, how many still love me? Please, two people. Okay. Hold on. I'm gonna get high now. Some of you say you better get high. I am. Verse 47. Whew. Praising God. Not only their consistency, their camaraderie, but their chorus. Praising God. By the way, there's some of these churches in the valley. If they would have had happen to them that we had happened to us this morning, they'd be flipping out. Because you know what the choir leader said to me? He said, everything I planned is in shambles. Because electric's off in certain communities. And certain people were going to sing this morning. But if you've been in the same service I've been, woo!
Yeah, come on, preach out the Holy Ghost. Yeah.
Now, what's my course? Praising God. What does praising God do for you? Can I say it? Praising God, first of all, reverence the sovereign. You're giving him glory. I ain't asking you for 1 minute of glory. Amen? I tell you what else. You can't lie. Don't you lie. It refreshes the saints. When Chad was up there, and lost his dignity this morning, I thought, well, there's a choir leader. Don't worry about programs. Don't worry about his schedule was upside down. He's just praising God. And it was refreshing.
Yes, it was.
And I tell you what.
Hadn't been here for a couple of weeks.
Amen.
It's real refreshing.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You've got something out of the day.
Yes.
And I tell you what else praising does. It rebukes Satan. Satan will get on the run if you praise. But if you're in the Molly Grubs and you're acting real pitiful, he ain't going to do anything. But if you're praising. Oh, I know I've told this illustration before and don't care. I'm going to do it again. It reaches sinners. Wave at me.
Yeah, come on now.
What lost person wants to go to a dead, dried up church that has nothing? I'll tell you what, if I'm going around somebody praising, that's contagious. Yes. I told this story. I know some of y'all have heard it, and you ought to like it again. Now, I don't go to this place often because of my weakness of the flesh. But if I want to fix, now they have changed around a little bit, and I'm mad at them. I go to Applebee's, or I used to. And you know what I do? I was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. At that exit, I think, 118. He said, do you know where all the eating places are? Oh, yes. And I went in there, and the server was a dear black lady. She came up, and I ate a big meal. She said, you want dessert? And I said, well, my wife ain't here. Because I stay on a diet every day. Yeah. And I said, yes, I want dessert. She said, well, you want? I said, one of them blondies. They've changed it now, and I don't like going there. And I got that thing, and I said, bring me 2 spoons. So I started eating it. And that butterscotch and that caramel, it was going down my lip, going down here. And I took that. And I want you to know something, sis. I was full to hear. And here come that little black lady. God bless her. And she brings me another blondie. I said, what are you doing? I said, I can't pay for that. I'm broke now. She said, that one's on me. She said, because I get commission for desserts this month. And since you've been eating that blondie, there's 10 people ordered blondies. Have you got it yet? Have you got it yet? I want you to know there's something contagious about serving God. There's something wonderful about serving God. There's something precious about serving God. There's something glorious about serving God. People will come around and they'll say, I want. Don't you want a little bit of what I got this morning? Give me 5. And I'm not high on marijuana, and I haven't had cocaine, but I've had the Holy Ghost. Y'all all right back here? We all right? We all right? I told you I was going to finish high. Y'all forget about all that ugly stuff I said earlier. Now hold it. I'm done. Whew. Wait. You thought I was going to roll over, didn't you? Verse 47, last part. Praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's their confidence. Deacons, pastors, church. If we do the first 6, God will do the rest. The job will get done, and the journey will be delightful. That's my State of the Union message for this church. Amen. You know what's happening? I'm going to sit down a minute. I've got some brethren and churches have got completely away from what I'm preaching this morning. Everything about them is music and pleasing the flesh or some junk. I want you to know something. And they think they got to do certain things to keep their church running because their church is hitting bottom. Their church is hitting bottom because they're not doing the things that's right. Because see, if you do it right, I got the confidence that he'll bring people in and get saved. And he'll get all the glory.
Amen. 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 He's worthy.
Woo! Heads bowed now, sir. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been saved? How many of you know for sure you're saved? Raise your hand high. Hold them up. Hold my. Looks like a lot of you. You know, first step of being a church member is to get saved. How many right now say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want you to pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you are saved? But on January 12th this year, you're not even as close as you were January 12th last year, and you haven't been as consistent as you ought to be. Raise your hand. Just say, pray for me. Come on. I see those hands. How many of you thank God that you're a member of a local independent body of Christ? Just wave them at me. You know what? You ought to join Pastor Chad. Come and pray for this church. Pray for your preacher. Pray for God's power to stay here. And we'll give him glory. Father, right now, I thank you for what you've done this morning. I pray you'll touch this place. Pray people will pray a wall of prayer around it. And we'll give you glory. And we'll give you honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's stand, sing. Sing. Come on. Come and pray for one another. Do you know a church member struggling? Come and pray for them. Is there somebody you know in the body that needs prayer? Pray a wall for them. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Oh, glory, 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 glory. 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 Glory.
With many a conflict, many a doubt.
Hear my.
Yes. Fears within, without.
Hear my.
It would be appropriate, and Miss Nancy just came up to me, and our pastor's having a procedure on Thursday, and I think it would be appropriate if he came up here and for us to lay hands on him and pray for him. And preacher, we love you. And yes, sir. And it's amazing to me. It just seems like he preaches every single week stronger and stronger and stronger. I don't know how he does it. It's God. It's the grace of God. And so would you come now and let's have prayer for our pastor. And Brother Sean, if you could, just lead us out.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Thankful, Lord, we know the great physician, the one that comes, the great I am, the wonderful, the counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, Lord, of your Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, and some of us in this room, have us ask, Lord, to speak with the doctors and touch him, Lord, and just give him your hand on him, to touch God, the power of God, Lord, to teach it every day, Lord, right now, Lord, Lord, better than he went in, Lord, we'll give you the praise, Lord, and honor to God. Out of the procedure, Lord.